Y'all got your Bible today, family? You ready to get into the Word? Let's make our confession. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord your strong shout today, would you? Amen. Open your Bible with me to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I love this verse, Romans chapter 8. And as we begin, if you're new today, you're our new friend, you're visiting, you're guest, or you just joined our church, we're in a series on how to fulfill God's will in your life. How to fulfill the will of God in your life. How to answer the call, walk out that call, and live out your purpose and make a difference with your life. You know, isn't that part of our purpose, why we all come every weekend? Isn't that our purpose, that we come here to know God, find freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference with our life? Isn't that our purpose, church? If you didn't know, it is our purpose. That's why we do what we do for 34 years at Church on the Rock. And so we pass out a survey to you, and we ask you for the summer, what did you want me to teach on? Because I want to scratch you where you're itching. I don't want to answer questions you're not asking. Because if I'm answering questions you're not asking, you're not being fed. If I'm answering questions you're not asking, I'm not meeting your need. So we asked you, what do you want me to teach on? And second came in of most of anything else was, Pastor, how do I know God's will for my life? So we've been spending this whole month on how to know God's will for your life. Now, if you're a note taker, some of you may not understand the will of God. It can be defined as God's call, God's assignment, God's dream, God's direction, God's destiny, God's plan for your life. And if you've been with us, if you're a note taker, number one, I'd write this down. A lot of people don't know this. Don't assume people know this. But number one, every one of us have a call from God on our life. Every one of us have a call from God on our life. Am I right, church? Now, when you know that call, three things, A, B, C. You'll live accepted, you'll feel needed, and wanted. If you understand that God has called you, God has a purpose for your life, God has a plan for your life, then you'll live accepted, you'll live needed and wanted. And you know what that does? That makes you feel fulfilled, satisfied, and happy. You with me, church? Everyone say accepted, needed, and wanted. Every one of us in this room have those needs. We want to know, when we come here to Church on the Rock, our church family, are we accepted here? I'm black, I'm white, I'm brown, I'm young, I'm old, I'm educated, not educated. Will I be accepted? Well, let me say, you will be. We all want to know, in this church, you know, with all the services and all that's going on and all the people, you know, am I needed? Well, I want you to know, you are needed. In this church, you know, will they want me? Yes, you are wanted. When you understand that God has a call on your life, then you understand and you will live with knowing I'm accepted, I'm needed, and I'm wanted. And when you do that, you'll live satisfied. Everyone say satisfied. You'll live fulfilled. Everyone say fulfilled. And you'll live happy. Everyone say happy. Now, if you don't know the call of God for your life, if you don't know God's will, if you don't know God's plan, and most people don't, if you don't know, then you will live unhappy. You'll live unsatisfied and unfulfilled. I want everybody that I pastor feed, I want you happy, I want you satisfied, and I want you fulfilled. Is that all right with you? So that's why I'm here today. That's my assignment today, is to help you live a fulfilled, satisfied, and happy life. How can you do that? When you understand you have a call from God on your life. Then number two, we found out that God called you before he created you. That's an amazing thought. He made you on purpose for a purpose. He called you before he created you. The Bible says before you were in your mother's womb, God called you. What does that mean? God must have a big plan for your life. It says, we found out last week, before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. We found out before the foundation of the earth. Scientists tell us that this planet is billions of years old. That tells me if God called you before the foundation of this world, if God called you before the beginning of time, that means that don't make little of what God wants to be large, and that is your life. Amen. Don't despise your life. Don't demeanor your life. Don't live a defeated life. Don't make small what God intends to be large. God wants you to know your purpose and make a difference with your life. God wants you to know that there's a call on your life, and before you were created, God called you. Right, church? Number three, we found out that all of our mistakes can never cancel out God's call in our life. All of our mistakes, and we all make them, right? Aren't you glad God takes your mistake and turns it into a miracle? Amen. That all of our mistakes, all of our blunders, our bloopers, our disobedience, our backsliding, our wandering, our watering down, God in his mercy and his grace says the gifts and calling of God is irrevocable. God will not call it back. So then we find out that the call of God is permanent on your life. The call of God is permanent on your life. We also found out that the call of God is not automatic. You will have to discover it. Come on, somebody. You will have to be deliberate, intentional, have the want to and the drive and the desire to find out why God created you. You and I have to have the desire, be deliberate, be intentional, do it on purpose. We have to pursue what God's plan is for our life. It won't drop in your lap. We don't determine the call of God. We discover the call of God. You know, when I was running from the call of God, I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to be in the ministry. I said, God, I'll be a businessman. I'll make a lot of money. I'll give it to the church. I didn't want to be in the ministry because of what I had saw growing up in the ministry. And I ran from that call for a long time. But it wasn't until I said, okay, God, yes to the call. And when I said yes to the call, everything changed in my life. Everything changed in my life when I said yes to the call. And so I just want to ask you today, have you found out your call? Have you answered the call? I want to ask you, are you pursuing the call or running from the call? I want to ask you, what is your perception and picture of the call of God on your life? For me growing up, you know, I knew there was a call of God on my life ever since I was a little boy. I knew there was. And I ran from that call because I was afraid God was going to call me to do something I didn't want to do. Do I have a witness in the house? But the call of God, with it is attached blessing and life and fulfillment, satisfaction, and happiness. Amen. So let's look at it today. Let's pick it up. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know, everybody say, we know, you're destroyed for a lack of what you don't know. And you're delivered with what you do know. Did you hear what I said? The Bible says you're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then the Bible says you're delivered through knowledge. So from where you're at or where you want to be, you need knowledge. You need revelation. You need information. You need inspiration and you need information and you need revelation to get from where you're at to get to where God wants you to be. Boy, I just said a whole lot right there. I hope you're writing it down. Pastor, I'm stuck. How do I go to the next level? Information, revelation, application, inspiration is how you get from where you're at to the next level. My people are destroyed for a lack of Bible teaching, and then they're delivered through a knowledge of biblical principles. Biblical principles. All right? And we know that in, I like the NIV version, and that's why I chose it, because it doesn't say for, but it says in. I like that. Big difference, right? What do you mean, Pastor? I don't understand you. I mean this. Everything that's going on in your life today, God is not behind it. Everything that happens to us is not God's will. Everything that happens to us is not God's will. Everything going on in our life today, God is not behind it. God is not behind abortion, incest, rape, divorce, bankruptcy, depression, anxiety, worry, drug addiction, alcoholism. God is not behind tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, famine, lack, racism, bigotry, belittling, disrespect, dishonor. God is not behind that. Can I have a yes in the house? God is not behind that. The devil is behind all of that. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So God is not behind everything that goes on in our life. Well, I lost my job. Well, my baby died. Well, my car broke down. Well, we didn't get the loan. Well, they did this behind our back. They did that. God's not behind all of that, but God will take in it, with it, through it, and turn it around for your good. Amen. So this verse now, because, you know, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I'll hear people at funerals, hospitals, divorce courts. I'll hear people quote this verse. I'll hear Christians quote this verse. But family, let me help you today. This verse doesn't work for every Christian. This verse doesn't work for sinners for sure. They don't love God. They're at the lake today. They're with their kids' soccer program today. They don't love God. They don't love God. This verse does not work for sinners, and this verse does not work for a lot of Christians. It only works for those who meet the premise before the promise. And who does it work for? Number one, those who love God. And number two, those who are walking in His call, living out their purpose. Can I have a yes in the house? If it's Bible, then we got to agree with it. Amen. If we want to move forward. Look what He says. We know that in, not for, not for, not for, not for, not for. I'm not going to thank God for car wrecks. I'm not going to thank God for cancer. I'm not going to thank God for racism, bigotry. I'm not going to thank God for disaster and devastation, hurricanes. You know, we were just in Puerto Rico, and they're still trying to recover down there. Bless their hearts in Puerto Rico from the hurricane down there. God wasn't behind that. God didn't cause that hurricane in Puerto Rico. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the prince and the power of the air. You know that, right? The Bible says the devil is the one behind storms. He's the one that controls the weather. Amen. It's in the Bible. So He says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good too, for those, number one, who love Him, and number two, those who have been according to His purpose. So here's the next thing. This is so powerful, family. This is so powerful because religion makes this so hard, but this is so powerful. How to know God's will for my life. How do I discover who does God want me to marry? What is my career? What university? Where do I get my education? What city do I live in? What church do I go to? Those are all important. But before you get there, start at the very beginning. Start at the very beginning. Let's get the horse before the cart. Right? Start at the very beginning. And what's the very beginning? You and I were called to love God. We were called to love God. Oh, that's amazing. The Bible says in Revelation 4, verse 11, you were created to worship God. So the first call in our life as Christians, once we have received Christ into our life, the first call in our life is to love God. Is that right, family? Let me show you from Scripture, Matthew 22, and look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with half your heart, a part of your heart. All right? So, God, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my mind, is God in my thoughts? Is God in my thoughts? And then the next verse, this is the first. Everyone say first, please, and then say great. This is the first and the great commandment. This is the first call and the greatest call on our life as a Christian. Before, who do you want me to marry? What city do you want me to live in? What do you want me to be in my career, my vocation, or ministry? God, the house, the car, we got the investments, the portfolio. Before any of that, let's put the horse before the cart. Let's put first things first. Let's answer the first call in our life. And what is that as a Christian? We're called to love God or to worship God. And that's what you're all doing today. And I'm so proud of you because you're saying, God, you come first on the first day of the week. Amen. God's going to, go ahead, give yourselves a hand clap for that. Amen. So you're, when you walk in that call, all the other things fall into place. When you walk in that call, when you get the horse before the cart, you know what I mean? Well, when you do what you know to do, when you do what you know to do, when you do what is clear and you know to do, what is unclear and you don't know to do will be revealed to you. When you do what you know to do, and what is that? Clearly in the Bible, it says the first call in your life is to love God, is to worship God with all your heart. What does that mean? He's to be the center of your heart. So what happens, and how do we know if he is? Philippians 4 and verse 7. How do I know if I'm answering that call? How do I know if I'm walking in that call? I was created to worship God. You were created to worship God, to love God. This is the first and the greatest, first and the greatest, first and the greatest. If I'll answer this call, then guess what? God will help me with the stress at work, the stress at home, the stress at school. God will help me in the secular world that we live in. God will help us make the right choices, the right decisions, go in the right direction if I put the horse in front of the cart. If I do the first call in my life, this is not the first call in my life as a pastor feeder. This is not the first call in my life. To be a father and a grandfather, that's not the first call in my life. I'm a boss. I have 40 employees that I'm responsible for, their salary and their insurance. That's not the first call in my life. I'm an equipper. I raise up leaders. That's not the first call in my life. The first call in my life is my call to love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. What's that look like? He's at the center of my heart. What does that look like? Every decision I run through him and by him before I make it. What does it mean to love God, put God in the center of my heart? It means every decision, every choice, I run by him and through him before I make it. I acknowledge him in all my ways, and then he will lead and guide and direct your life and crown it with success. Do y'all know that's Bible? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your decisions. He'll crown your effort with success and cause you to succeed in everything you do. Where does that start? Answering the first call. God's will on my life is to be sold out to him first. Is to run everything through him and by him before I do anything. Now, what does that look like? Philippians 4, verse 7. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. You know, God wants you to be whole today. God wants you to be spiritually secure, emotionally secure, relationally secure, physically secure, and financially secure. You know, I went to a college in Kim and I, right below Dallas, Texas, and the motto for our college was the whole gospel for the whole man. That was our motto, the whole gospel for the whole man. God wants you and I to live a whole life, not a dysfunctional life, not a fragmented life, not a handicapped life, not a life where we're limping, strong in one area, weak in the other. God wants you strong spiritually. God wants you strong physically. God wants you strong emotionally. God wants you strong relationally. God wants you strong financially. Can I have a yes in the house? So it says here, a sense of God's wholeness. Wow, that everything is coming together. Some of you are so stressed out at work, at home, or in relationships, in obligations on your life, things you have to do, schedules, raising, parenting kids, wearing all kinds of hats. You're frazzled. You're stressed out. You're overwhelmed. What's the key, Pastor? Walk in your call. Walk in God's will. I don't know what that is. Now you do. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What does that mean? Run every decision by him and through him before you make it. He's the first one you talk to in the morning, not anybody on Facebook. Emailing, not social media. You know, he's the first one you talk to in the morning. I'm making it real practical. He's the last one you talk to at night. Amen. And throughout the day, when you need him, you talk to him. When you don't need him, you talk to him. Amen. Woo, Pastor. All right. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything is going to come together. You feel it. I just know it's going to work out. How do you know? Because I cast my care on the Lord. Because I put God first. Because I'm walking in his will. Well, what is that? That is loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind will happen and settle you down. It's a wonderful what happens when Christ, look at this, Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. What does it mean to love God? That's the first call in our life. That's God's will for us. That's the horse before the cart. How do I know I'm doing that? Watch this now. Less worry in your life. Less worry in your life. Have you found out? I have. I think you have. You can't worry and worship God at the same time. You can't worry and worship God at the same time. So if God is at the center of my heart, I make all my decisions before I do. I run through Him and by Him. If I'm putting Him first, if I'm answering the call of my life, which is to love God, that's before you're a doctor, a lawyer, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, IT, insurance salesman, car salesman. That's before anything else. The call and will of God for your life is to put God first, is to love God with everything within you, is to make Him the center of your life. And you know you're doing it if there's less worry in your life and there's more peace. And you can be in a storm and still have less worry and more peace. Amen, church? All right. Now, let me give you the next one today. Another call. Well, Pastor, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. I'm telling you what it is. No, Pastor, I want to know who I'm going to marry. No, that's the cart before the horse. No, Pastor, I just want to know what my job is. No, that's the cart before the horse. Am I helping somebody today? I've been walking with God for a half a century, 50 years. And you know, really, this is probably one of the biggest questions people have asked me in all my ministry. How do you know God's will? How do you know God's direction? And most of the time, they put the cart before the horse. So the horse before the cart. They want to know who to marry, where to live, what church, what city, should I take that job? And you know what? If I'm putting God first, God's going to tell me those things in my quiet time. God's going to tell me those things in my quiet time. Amen? So if I put the horse before the cart, I got things in order, so my life is not out of order. My life is in order, and I run every decision, every choice by Him and through Him. Amen, church? Here's your next call. We've all been called to live a productive life. We've all been called to live a productive. Everyone say productive three times. We've all been called to live a productive life. Do you remember I started out with you're needed, you're wanted, and you're accepted? That gives you security. That overcomes insecurity. No matter if you're 10 or 80, you're still called to live a productive life. I hate to tell you, senior citizens, retirement is not in the Bible. You cannot find retirement in the Bible. I'm sorry. And all of the surveys show us when you retire and just golf, you die early. Because you were made on purpose for a purpose. So if you retired from your career, you never retire from a ministry, plug in and serve the local church and donate your time. Donate God's ability He gave you. Because you're needed, you're wanted, and you're accepted. Go ahead, give the Lord a good Sunday morning praise. Amen. So let's look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Let's look at it, verse 8. We've all been called. Now, I want to know, Pastor, you know, who I'm to marry, what university, what city, what state, what nation. No, that's the cart before the horse. Get the horse in front of the cart and do what God's called you to do. And He's called you to love Him. Number two, He's called you to live a productive life. Now, the word productive in the Bible is the word fruitful. The word productive in the Bible is fruitful. So let's all say it together, fruitfulness. God has called us to be fruitful. Now, when you have a clear understanding of what you've been called to do, then the things that are unclear, when you do what you know to do, the things that are unclear will be made clear to you. You understand that? The will of God is not a blueprint. A blueprint, you lay it out, you see it all at one time. The will of God is a scroll. Remember the medieval times, the castle times, they had scrolls. The Bible days, they had scrolls. You read it, then you roll a little bit farther, and you read some more. That's the will of God. It's little by little. God is not going to show you everything at once. God says, if you answer the first call, and that is to what? Love him. And you know you're loving him. If he's the center of your life, you're running every decision by him and through him. And then also, if you love him, you're going to obey him. So if I'm walking in my call, I want to obey God. I want to obey God. I don't want to disobey God. I want to obey God. You obey your way to your call. You obey your way in your call, to your call, from glory to glory throughout your call. You obey your way through. All right? So this is to my Father's glory. What does that mean? This makes God look good when we are productive. This makes God look good when we're walking in our call and we're called to be fruitful. We're called to be productive. We're called to bear much fruit. So this is to my Father's glory that you bear what? Fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. What is a disciple? A student. A student, a student. What is a disciple? A lifelong learner. Look with me at verse 16, same chapter, verse 16. You have not chosen me. Now, wouldn't we agree the word chosen is a synonym for the word called? Yes. So let's read it that way. You did not call me, but I have called you, and I ordained you. Now, to be ordained means set apart for a service. Set apart for a service, a call, a purpose. So you were called and set aside for a specific purpose before there were time and before there was an earth, a planet. Oh, my goodness. So he said, I called you. I ordained you. What'd you call me to, God? I want to know your will. I want to know my calling. Am I to be a doctor, a lawyer, IT, a psychiatrist? Am I to be a school teacher? Am I to be a secretary? What am I to be, God? I want to know my calling. Oh, you called me to live a productive life. Got it. You called me to be fruitful. Got it. But God, what is your definition of fruitful? What does it look like, a productive life? I'm glad y'all asked those questions. Okay, so look what he says. You didn't call me, but I called you, and I set you apart that you should go forth and bring fruit. What is that? Be productive. That your fruit should remain. Oh, family, look up here at me. That your fruit should remain. What does that mean? Fruit that remains. What does that mean? Fruit that remains. It remains after you're gone. Fruit that remains after you pass from this life to the next life. Wow. What is that? God called us to make a difference with our life and leave a legacy. God called us to get in the race, get in the pace, and finish strong and leave a legacy. God called us that our latter days would be greater than our former days. God called us that our path would get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And every day of your life and every year, you get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And your life gets better and better. And you leave strong. You finish strong. You leave a legacy. Come on, somebody. My grandmother Blunt, she was a farmer's wife in southern Iowa. I've told many of the stories before, but I have pictures of her holding me as a baby, walking around on that farm, holding me in her arms, praying in tongues over me as a baby. Now, she's in heaven. She died in her 60s, but guess what? Her fruit is remaining. I'm in my 60s, and I'm feeding, pastoring, leading the greatest church, greatest people on the planet. What is that? Fruit that remains. You talk about next weekend. Pastor Kim did so good on praying for us to invite dads next weekend. Dad, you're a spiritual head of your home, spiritual priest of your home, and you are to leave a legacy for your children that when you're gone, it lives on through them. Spiritual, a spiritual walk, a spiritual life. In Jesus' name. So we're called to live a productive life. Here's another calling. We're all called not to backslide, not to wimp out, not to waver, not to give up, not to faint, depressed, and quit. But we're called to finish this race and get better, stronger, closer to God every day of our life. We're called to leave a legacy. Amen. That's the calling on your life. Your calling on your life is not a flash in the pan. It's not a temporary success. It's not, you know, you show up, you blow up, you're gone. Amen? But that you leave a legacy, that your fruit remains. Amen. So look at this. He said, as the team comes out, he said, you didn't call me. Am I helping anybody today? You didn't call me, but I called you. And I set you apart for a specific work. That you should go forth. What is that work, God? And bear fruit. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Do you see these scriptures we're just pointing out? There's a lot of them that reveal the call of God for your life. God's word is God's will for my life. And there are all kinds of scriptures specifically telling us what God's called us to do. No, but Pastor, that's cool, but who am I supposed to marry? You'll find that out in your quiet time. You'll find that out living in the productive life God's called you to. Well, Pastor, what school? You'll find that out in loving God and putting him first. He'll speak to you in that still small voice and say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the person. Marry that dude. He's got a job. He loves the Lord. He's got a savings account. Got great investments. He'll be a good spiritual father to my children. Just thought I'd throw out there, all you single ladies, you can buy me Starbucks on the way out. Praise the Lord. All right? So what is fruit? Let me just, we're going to pick this up Wednesday night. And don't forget, summers, this summer at Church on the Rock, this coming Wednesday night, the second Wednesday night of July, and the second Wednesday night of August, is called Summer at Church on the Rock. We're having a block party. We encourage you to bring your block, bring your friends, and bring them this Wednesday. We're going to have a regular service. I'm going to shorten it. Then we're going to have a party on the portico. We've spent thousands of dollars to bring in great big blow-ups, rock climbing wall, free snow cones. We're going to have a big party summer at Church on the Rock for you and your friends this Wednesday night out on our patio. Amen? How did I give from there? Oh, fruit. Amen. Praise God. So this Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you what that fruit is. But you know what the first fruit is? A productive life. We're called to live a fruitful life. Everybody say fruitful three times. What is that? Number one, the fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist talks about the fruit that comes from repentance. Okay, Pastor, I realize we're all called to be saved, but more than that, do you know the word repent means to change the way you think? We've all been called to be changed and keep on changing. So God's will for our life is that we never stop learning. We never stop changing. The older you get, the less you want to change. Remind yourself it's God's will for you to change. Make the right changes. The first fruit is the fruit of repentance. To repent means to change your mind, change the way you think, and go in a new direction. The call of God in our life is to change the way we think and think the way God thinks. The call of God. Oh, this, thank you, Holy Spirit. Is this, I hope this is, how clear can this be? Amen. The call of God in our life is to be productive with our life. Productive means fruitful, and the first fruit, verse 8, is the fruit of repentance, and to repent means to change the way you think. If you and I are going to discover God's will, we've got to stop thinking the way we used to think and start thinking God's thoughts. It's called the renewing of your mind. The call in your life is to read the Bible every day. Call in your life is to take 10 minutes and meditate. They got these meditation apps out there now. There are a lot of them. You know, stop and do a meditation app. You better be real careful with that, because when you open, clear your mind up, the devil will come in and fill that void. Better fill your mind with the word. Meditate. And you know what? Fruit is a result of roots. And through meditation, you dig deep roots. So the first call of fruitfulness is the call of the fruit of repentance. To repent means to change your mind, change the way you think. So folks, listen to me. We've all been called to change the way we think, from the world's way to the Word's way. So if I'm not reading my Bible, this is not condemnation. This is setting you free. If you're not in a Bible plan, you're out of God's will. Really, Pastor? Yeah, meditate day and night, night and day. If I'm not in a Bible reading plan, right there, how can I know God's will for my life? How can I know what direction, who to marry, where to move, where to go, where to relocate, who to invest in, what to invest in? If I'm not obeying the call to renew my mind, the fruit of repentance, then how do I know the next step, the next chapter, the next season of my life? Am I helping anybody today? So say it with me. I've been called to live a fruitful, productive life. That starts with a daily reading Bible plan. I'm done. You get something today? Give the Lord all the praise.